Okay, here we go. Thank you. This is deersfeet.com or Deer's Feet, and it's my blog and my interviews with people all about mental health and my journey through depression to Christ. And my main goal is to let people know that yes, it's real, and Christ is also real, and there is help in a number of places, and Christ for me was at the helm and led me to services and things like that. But he was the difference, the huge difference. So I am today interviewing my friend and psychiatrist, Rhonda, Dr. Rhonda Williams. So I'm going to let her speak right now and kind of introduce herself.
Got it. Well, thank you, Charmaine. It's a pleasure to be here and to support you with this blog and your journey to, informing people about mental health and the resources that are available. And even more importantly, that Christ does care about us as we go through our mental health struggles. As long as we turn to Him, He can absolutely heal us and guide us on this journey. So, as Charmaine mentioned, I'm a psychiatrist. I am a board certified psychiatrist in psychiatry and neurology. And I would say I got into psychiatry, I would say not intentionally. My intention was certainly to go into endocrinology. And, once I did my psychiatry rotation, the practice of psychiatry just sparked an interest in me. And it sparked an interest because it's definitely focused on the individual, on their story, on what led them to this point in their life. So definitely involves more of a puzzle getting to know this person. And of course, that's combined with medicine. And so that's when I made a U-turn and decided to seek psychiatry. So my training, I went to Cal State LA for undergrad, and then on to USC for medical school, and then UCLA for training in residency. And I've been in practice for about 12 years. Initially, when I completed training, I did work at the VA and with a focus on women's health, particularly women who have experienced trauma in the military. And after working at the VA, I transitioned into full-time private practice. And my practice is focused on, women's health, perinatal as well as postpartum mental health, focused on mood disorders like anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and also Christian counseling. So my approach in, treating patients is much more of a holistic approach that, mind, body, and spirit are all interconnected and they all have to be in balance. And a lot of my work involves just educating patients on how to maintain that balance and how to maintain good emotional health, right? Especially in this world where there's so much coming at us that you have to be intentional about maintaining that balance. So I am a believer, right? And a believer to the extent that God can only help us as much as we reveal to Him. And, knowing that when we go to Christ with our emotional pains, that He is willing and able, He wants to hear from us and wants to heal us. And so I think having all those modalities working together is the way to start the healing process.
Wow, that's great. So, as you were talking, I was like, wow, segue into what you were saying about the balance. So, can you go a little dig into that a little bit about the balance and what that entails?
What that entails. So yeah, so the balance involves, working on your physical health, your emotional health, spiritual health. So we can tease each one out, right? So when we talk about emotional health, first of all, in order to start this journey, you have to have an awareness, right? So awareness means, what does my physical health look like? Right? Do I have a practice where I focus on my physical health? Am I aware of what a healthy diet looks like? What do I eat on a daily basis? Am I eating consistent meals, right? What does sleep look like? Do I have a regular sleep schedule? You know, am I someone who struggles with insomnia? Do I have certain practices before bedtime that are actually counterintuitive to getting good quality sleep? And exercise, right? And, you know, sometimes some people may not necessarily hate the word exercise. They're like, ah, exercise. But exercise you can think of as just being physically active. You know, am I a couch potato or am I someone who is active? Like, do I get up and do things? Do I go for walks, right? The other part of physicality is going outdoors, right? Do I get sunlight?
Sunlight, yeah.
And there are more and more studies coming out showing the benefits of just being out in nature. There are actually some doctors out of Canada who actually prescribe patients to go out into nature. Like they literally write it as a prescription, right? So there's definitely a lot of benefit that we can gain, not just in improving our physical health, but our emotional health when we are more physical and we are aware of that. And so, you know, drinking water, taking supplements, going to your doctor, getting regular, you know, routine checkups, knowing your lab values, all of that falls under physical health, right? And the importance of that is it becomes, it's something that should become part of your routine, right? Where you're very aware of that. And then in terms of emotional or mental health, going back to awareness, checking in with yourself, how am I feeling? What are my emotions? Right? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I angry? Am I frustrated? You know, how have I been feeling the last couple of months? Right? And the reason why I say that is, you know, in my work, like patients will come in, I'll ask them questions. How are you feeling? Sometimes patients are like, I don't know how I'm feeling. Like I haven't thought about it. I haven't given it enough focus and attention to actually give you an answer. Right. And one strategy I think can help you to get in touch with your emotions is actually through journaling. Right. Just, you know, it may be hard for you to identify your emotions. You can write it out. Okay. You can also, you know, Google like different emotions and look to see which ones I actually identify with. Right. But just knowing where you are emotionally, and especially with, you know, so much trauma going on around us, whatever happens in our environment affects us emotionally. And we may not even be fully aware of to what depth it actually affects us. Right. So having a practice where you check in and you, you know, just do like a screening of what is happening with my emotions, right? And the benefit of that is you can gain better control over your emotions at a time where you're able to keep them in check. Because sometimes, you know, we may not be aware of what's happening with our emotions until it gets to a very extreme level, right? Like your severe depressive episode or... you know, you had an outburst with somebody or you had a panic attack, right? That's when the extreme happens. But, you know, there were signs bubbling below the surface that you may not have been aware of if you did not check in, right? And then, you know, lastly, when we talk about the spiritual part of it, you know, God cares about our emotions. Like he created us with emotions, right? So emotions like anxiety and anger and sadness, those are all natural emotions, right? Jesus had a range of emotions when he was this earth, right? So emotions are not bad, but they can become a problem when we do not address them in the appropriate way. Right? We don't necessarily know how to address them. Right. And certainly, you know, in terms of like your spiritual beliefs, like, you know, quoting scripture, praying, right? Having a relationship with God, all of those are things that can help our emotional well-being. right? You know, on a very basic level, like if you're someone who struggles with anxiety, well, look up scripture that talks about anxiety.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's one scripture that says, be anxious for nothing, right? But, you know, everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which guarded your hearts, right? All of that scripture is powerful in that it can change how we feel.
Yeah.
Right. It can change how we believe God can heal us. Right. And he cares deeply about what's happening with your emotions. And so going back to the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, when any of those areas are out of balance, you are out of balance.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's good. Yeah.
So it's a constant check-in of where am I physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Wow. That's powerful. So also, if what I had looked up some myths about depression and anxiety, more depression. I never really thought of it as depression, anxiety as I was going through it, because to me, I never even thought of it as depression at first, because I started as a child. So back then, nobody talked about that. That word wasn't like, you know, nobody used that word, you know, but now I see it's a big mixture. And, what are some of the myths? Because I was looking at a list of myths that I see why they're on the list. Like, oh, this will just go away. You just need to be happy. You just need to smile more. You know, just things that I know people used to tell me. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the, maybe a couple of the biggest myths that you know about that people feel or think about depression and anxiety?
I think some of the biggest myths, like you said earlier, right? Like it will just go away. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just going to wake up one day and feel better, right? I mean, you could be in a massive depressive episode where you cannot get out of bed. You can't work. You're not sleeping. You're not eating well, right? You're just not functioning, right? Yeah. And, you know, praying and hoping, well, tomorrow I'll get up and I'll feel great, right? Mm-hmm. Or feeling that somehow this is a character flaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There must be something going on with me, right? That this is happening, right? And sometimes some well-meaning or well-intentioned family or friends can say that to somebody, right? Well, just snap out of it. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you have to be depressed about?
Yeah. Right? Yes, that one.
Right. Right. I think the second myth is not recognizing that mental health disorders are medical disorders. Right. And looking at them as less than, and say, like, if you have something like anxiety or depression or heart disease, right? All of these things we're talking about, depression, anxiety, affect our brain. And our brains are part of our body, right? Yeah. So certainly, you know, people can think like, well, I don't know what's happening. Like, I should be able to like fix this on my own. Like, I don't understand why I have to like, you know, get into therapy or see a doctor about it. Right. And I think the third myth, that can be involved as well is certainly feeling that you must have done something to cause this. Right. And I think in general, there's still quite a bit of stigma around mental health. You know, I think as a society, we're starting to talk about it more and more, you know, as we slowly get out of the pandemic and the negative impact it has had, but we are no way close, right, to where we should be in terms of addressing stigma or people feeling, you know, guilt or shame about having to go and talk to a therapist or, you know, going to their primary care doctor, right? And I would just say, like, personally, within my own practice, one of the things that I've noticed is that I have had a lot more, you know, Black females come in and actually ask for help. That was never what my practice looked like.
Oh, wow.
Right? It has certainly shifted, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of, you know, things that happen in our society over the past 2 years that you can see why that would happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything that happened to George Floyd and racism and the pandemic. I mean, you know, people have been under such a tremendous amount of stress and pressure, right? That, you know, it has caused them to say, okay, maybe I do need to start to talk to someone, yeah, right? Yeah. So I think for everybody, it's, you know, we're all going to go through difficulties and stressors that we may not be able to address on our own. Right. You may have resources, but you could be going through something so challenging that yeah, you may need to consider, you know what, maybe I do need to talk to my primary care doctor that I have anxiety, I'm not sleeping, I'm irritable. Mm-hmm. I need to consider talking to a therapist. Yeah. Right. So I just want your viewers to know there is help available. No mm-hmm. one needs to suffer in silence. No one needs to do this all on their own. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, God created therapists and psychiatrists to help you, right?
Just like any doctor.
Any doctor, right? And sometimes we can stand in the way of our own healing because it doesn't look the way we want it to look.
Right. Yeah. Wow, right. That's good. Yeah. We have these expectations of how it should look. And then when it doesn't, Oh, yeah, right. I can really relate to that. I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to that. It's good information. So I'm going to go one step deeper, I guess, let's talk about suicide and the stigma or the myth behind that. Because you and I had a conversation once and it was freeing to me because just, you know, to give my side, I mean, I thought of suicide often from a young age. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like even through adulthood before, you know, I always felt like until we had that conversation that it was a very selfish thing. And I was thinking, you know, because that's what I would hear from people, but I knew that's not how I felt. Mm-hmm. So, and I've heard people say that, I've heard Christians say that, I've heard, you know, they say, well, you're just thinking about yourself too much, then if you didn't, then you wouldn't be feeling like that. So can you unpack that a little about that part of it? That, is that a myth? Or do you think, is that what you see, that it's just people just thinking about themselves, that's why they're thinking about suicide?
Yeah. You know, and one of the things is that, I mean, suicide, it's such an unnatural process to begin with. Right. And so anytime someone takes their life, right, you know, family and friends are left with this gaping hole, right. And all these questions as to like, what happened? Did we miss something? Was there something that was going on? Right. That we could have stopped it. Right. And, you know, as we were having in our conversation, right, you know, sometimes people will describe someone who attempted suicide or committed suicide as, oh, that's such a selfish act. Like, how could you do that and like leave your family and friends in such pain, right? And one of the things I just wanted to bring out is that when someone starts to have suicidal thoughts, they're in such a deep, dark, depressive state mm-hmm. that when you get to that level of depression, you're actually not thinking clearly. Right. And what I mean by that is depression affects your cognition in that it affects how you view yourself. It affects how you view life. And it certainly affects how you view your future. Right. Mm-hmm. And so depression can get to such a dark place that when you start to have suicidal thoughts, you can start to feel like maybe it's better for everybody else mm-hmm. that I'm not here.
Yeah.
It'll be helpful. They don't have to worry about me. I will not be in the picture. Everyone will be better off.
Happier. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you can get to that point and see how someone can actually go through with that act. Right. So I always like to, you know, just re-educate people when they say someone is selfish because nobody knows what's going on in someone's heart,
head,
right? You don't know the depth of their pain, you know, and this applies to any, you know, mental health illness, right? Because it is a brain disorder, mm-hmm. you know, people can hide the depth of their pain from you, right? They could, you know, go to church, go to school, go to work, and you can think, oh, well, you know, they seem fine. They're doing everything they were doing. They're joking with me. What's the problem? Right. And then, you know, a suicidal act can happen. You're like, I didn't know. Right. But you have to show a level of care and empathy with those around you, especially at the times that we're going through. And I would say one of the things to, you know, really start to do is to just check in with people around you. Like, and checking in a deeper way, more than like, how are you doing? I'm fine. And then we just move on. Right. Well, are you really fine? Or are you just, you're fine. Right. Cause it becomes such an automatic response. So they're all this, there's always a part that each of us can play just in terms of maintaining that connection with somebody, because everybody around you is going through something, everyone, right? And you may not know to what degree of pain that they're in, right? So I, you know, I, the conversation we had just in terms of, you know, talking about suicide, I know you said that it freed you, right? It freed you from, oh my God, I'm thinking this is such a selfish act, right? But then this goes back to what I mentioned earlier, right? That all of these mental health disorders are medical disorders, right? And, you know, when you go through a mental health disorder, it changes how your brain functions, changes how you think. And so that has a direct impact in why some people may continue to go down the road of suicide. And no one has to get to that degree. There is help available. There is help available. There's someone you can talk to. Either you call the suicide hotline, reach out to someone you know who is close to you, someone that you can trust, and just talk to them. Okay. I have patients who come in who are suicidal. And, you know, once they bring that up, then it opens up the dialogue as to how did you get to this point and how can we begin to change that? What can we do? You bring family on board so they're aware of it. So again, I just want to reiterate, this is not a struggle that you have to go through by yourself, Don't allow shame and guilt to keep you from seeking the help that you need. Because once you find providers, they are willing to help you. All you need to do is ask for help. That's it.
Or the fact that, like you said, this is, it freed me, because I always thought when I always, I know when I was getting to that point, I was thinking everybody's going to be, this world would be better off without me. You know, that's what was always in my head. And, I never thought that at that point. I mean, it doesn't make sense when I say it out loud to myself now, but I, at that point, you don't think that that's incorrect thinking, you know, and you're really not thinking about yourself. You're you think you're thinking about the world, you know, like, or your immediate family, like everybody would be better off without me. I am this problem. But yeah, like you said, it's a disorder.
It is a disorder, right? And when you think especially about depression, right, it's a very, it's a disorder that triggers isolation, right? You want to pull away from everybody. And so once you pull away from everybody, all you have are your thoughts. And you're not hearing any other contrary voice say, wait a second, Charmaine, no, that's not correct. And so I think this brings up another important point of having connections, right? Having social connections or having emotional connections with somebody that you can talk to, right? Who can offer you an alternative. Because once you're isolated and you're only hearing your thoughts become your reality, So if your thoughts are telling you it's better for you to be by yourself, that becomes your reality. And then you start to act out of that reality, and so, you know, on also on a spiritual level, you know, when we're isolated, that's really when the enemy has us against a wall. That's what he wants you to be. And so, you know, God never created us to live in isolation. He always created us to live in community, I mean, he had 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Right. He was God in the flesh. Right. So if he needed that, we absolutely need to have connection with people. Right. It's better for us physically, mentally, spiritually. Right. And so that's another aspect I wanted to, you know, bring out and make clear that there is so much benefit to just being able to talk to someone. And one of the things I'll tell you, you know, I'll have patients come in and they'll just talk. And at the end of the session, they're like, oh my God, thank you. You were so helpful. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just listened.
Right.
But that's what they needed. And so that can just help us tremendously to know we have somebody that we can go to, that we can share, who supports us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't even have to have the answer. Just listen. Listen, right?
Yeah.
And if you have like a friend or a family member, you know, who's going through a difficult time, you know, with any mental health disorder or symptom, just ask them, like, what can I do for you?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What can I do to help you?
Yeah.
Right. You know, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want me to, you know, spend time with you? Do you want me to look up therapists for you? Right. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you can be so depressed, you know, someone may say like, oh yeah, you should talk to a therapist. But the idea of going through, you know, a list of, you know, insurance panels and finding somebody can be so overwhelming.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, I never even thought of that. Wow. That's good. Yeah.
Right. And so just being empathic and thinking of somebody else on what I can do to help them.
Yeah.
Right. And definitely go a long way, because we would like the same thing to happen to us. Right.
Yeah.
Like if we go through that process as well. Right.
Yeah.
And God definitely created us to live interdependent,
mm-hmm.
you know. I have something I could do to help you, and vice versa. And in that way, our needs are constantly met.
Yeah.
Right. But if we live in isolation or individuality, we miss out on that part. Right. And that's when people can fall through the cracks and be left isolated, because no one is reaching out. No one is thinking about them in that way.
Yes. Wow. That's good. Okay, so I guess my last question was just going to be, and I think you did it along the way, it's just to like, what would you say to the viewers as a list of, you know, make sure you kind of do that checklist. And I think you kind of did it with each each topic you did, you know, live in community, try not to isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe you have a little checklist of mm-hmm. what, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for the checklist, I would go back to what I talked about being in balance, like physical, emotional, and spiritual, right? You know, in terms of the physical, just being sure that you're being physically active, you're eating a well-balanced diet, right? And when I say a well-balanced diet, that means you're getting adequate amounts of, you know, vegetables, fruit, whole grains, you know, really trying to limit sweets and mm-hmm. preservatives, mm-hmm. You know, drinking a lot of water, mm-hmm. no alcohol, you know, no drugs or anything like that. Monitoring your sleep, right? Am I getting adequate sleep? What does my mm-hmm. sleep hygiene look like, right? Limiting screen time before I go to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just in terms of the emotional, just, you know, doing a check-in with your, and it doesn't have to be daily. You could do this like on a weekly basis, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. What happened to me over the past week? What kind mm-hmm. of things did I deal with emotionally? How am I feeling now? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I frustrated? Do I feel lonely? Mm-hmm. And why do I feel this way? What are some things I can do to change that? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then certainly the spiritual part of it involves, you know, working on your relationship with God, right? If there are things that you are struggling with emotionally, take it to him in prayer. If you're someone who struggles with depression, you know, certainly let him know, you know, I'm more sad. I'm crying more. I'm not getting enjoyment out of life. Like, guide me, show me, you know, what I need to do to feel better. Right. Sometimes it could be a stressful job or a stressful marriage. You're just not sleeping well, going through hormonal, it could be multiple things. Right. Mm-hmm. And once you take that in prayer to God, he will show you where you can go for help. He will absolutely guide you, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many scriptures that talk about our emotions, right? That talk about joy and peace and finding contentment, right? And so I think on a practical level, those are things where you could take a photo of a scripture and put it as a screensaver in your phone. So every time you go to your phone, you see that. So it's a constant reminder, right? Of God's promises when it comes to our emotions and our well-being, right? And so you also mentioned the social aspect of it and maintaining that connection as well, right? And I think out of that comes out having someone that you trust, that you feel safe with, that you can go to, right? For some people, it may not be a family member. It could be your therapist or your psychiatrist, right? But we all need somebody that we can share things with who will maintain that confidentiality, who will continue to check in with you and see how you're doing, right? And just give you that reassurance that even though you're going through this very difficult time, that things can turn around, right? We all go through difficult seasons, but they're seasons. Remember that, right? And, you know, it can all turn around, but it can only turn around if you ask for help and you're willing to go down that journey to get on the other side of it.
Wow. This has been enlightening. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your wisdom. And for taking the time to talk to us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I just want to thank everybody else for tuning in and for watching this video. And there'll be more to come on other topics. And with that, I'll say have a great and a blessed day to everyone. Thank you, Dr. Rhonda. And have a good one. I'll talk to everybody later. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.